we left you guys with last night. I think these guys are going to be able to help provide solution to the answers to those questions. Thank you all for coming, Bill. Thanks for traveling from Louisville, Georgia. We appreciate it. And can't wait to see what these guys have in store for us today. We're going to start off the day with a four-minute meditation. And Mr. Scarborough is going to lead us in the set-aside prayer after that.
God, please set aside everything we think we know so that we may have an open mind and a new experience. Help us see the truth about the failure of our lives run on self-will and our decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we experience God. Thank you for your presence today. Amen. So I'm Brandon. I'm a drug addict. And I was second guessing myself. I was like, oh my God, is my timer off? When that went, I'm like, holy shit. How was my clock wrong and theirs is right? So that felt a little long. Because this is still very new. This is still exciting for me. This is still energy. It provides an energy to get to sit here in front of y'all and be an agent for God. And we're going to talk about what that means to be an agent for God as me and Bill talk about as we talk about the third step. So I want to recap a little bit about what we did last night. Tarek and Carl talked about step one, basically explained to us what the experience, a first step experience, is to look like, or what theirs look like. They shared their experience and they shared what the book, how it displays this to us. We looked at the physical craving. When I start, do I lose control at times over how much I drink and use? Can I stay stopped when I want to? Or does suddenly the thought cross my mind? Do I have a loss of power to choose when I drink and use? If I have those things, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict of the hopeless variety. And until I'm convinced of this, and there's a firm foundation of that first step experience that tells me without a doubt, I am hopeless, I am effed, beyond measure, there's no hope in me fixing myself and staying sober until that experience and that gut level surrender has had chances of me grasping this thing and moving into a smooth transition of believing in something outside of me, is going to be hard to do. When that surrender is gifted to us and I can connect to the fact that I have no power, then I can move into a second step that says, maybe something greater than me exists. Am I willing to believe that it might exist? And with that, I'm well on my way. Conception, idea, picture, that's not so much important as we move through the steps, we experience this thing. And just a matter of being willing to think that there might be something. And I'm at a place where I can move through, that I'm not the one that can keep me sober, and maybe there's something else out there that can. That's going to give me a foundation to now move into the third step. So I do want to read something, and then I'm going to hand it over to Bill. By the way, this gentleman beside me, it's remarkable how God works and how this power works on our behalf. When I was at the Bridges of Hope, it's so cool to get to sit up here with you. I mean, the way that God had him move in and through my life. I was at the Bridges of Hope, and I shot dope there the first go around. 30 days in, he had to be part of the team that kicked me out. I'm nodding in a treatment center. The guys are like, "Hey, he's high," and they're like, "Hey, you're high," and I'm like, "No, I'm not. No, I didn't use." And they're like, "Yeah, look at your arm. It's swollen. There's a hole. You did." And I'm like, "No, I didn't. Piss in this cup." "Okay, I did." So I did. And on my way I go. I'm told 2 to 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, you can come back. But you got to go for now. And the powerlessness even shows up, that I'm convinced as I leave that I'm going to go to another program for 3 weeks. I swore to God I was going to. That day I'm on the hunt. I meant I was going to go somewhere else. When that craving kicked in, it's done deal. 3 week run, I end up arrested again, and my mom called him and he said, "Look, whatever you do," and my mom corrected me on the story because I thought some totally different shit was said, and she's like, "No," he basically told me, "Whatever you can do, getting back here, just bring him back here, get him back to the Bridges of Hope." And against their willingness and their ideas, they bonded me out. My mom took me straight from jail to the Bridges of Hope. I experienced that place of surrender in jail. It was the clarity kicked, and I was like, "Oh my God, I cannot do this anymore. Someone tell me what the F to do. Please tell me. I'll do whatever they tell me when I get back there." And it was on, and I showed up, and I sit here sober 4+ years as a result of God working through him and having him convince tell my parents, hey, whatever you can do, getting back to the Bridges. So he's played a vital part in my recovery from then up to now. So it's an honor to sit up here with you. I'm going to read something real quick. Step 3, page 58 to the bottom of page 63. The first half of step 3 outlines the spiritual path and the first requirement, which is that I be convinced of the ABCs and that my life run on self-will can hardly be a success. When convinced, I considered the third step decision on page 62. So that's what we're about to work through, and with that, I'll give you Mr. Bill.
Thank you, Brandon. My name is Bill Brown. I'm a very grateful recovered crack cocaine addict. Guys, my sobriety date is June 26th of 2013. My home group is down the road in Sandy Springs on Wednesday nights called Big Book Unlocked. I get to sit with my grand sponsor, Larry S., and do something similar to this. We're just real excited about the Big Book, about recovery, about God, and about life today, as we have been recreated and reborn, which is going to be some promises offered in this literature we're going to talk about over the next few minutes. Brandon and I were in the back room over here before we got started, and we were together for a prayer, and we held our hands, and I was moved with emotion, and the story he told you. Guys, I'm not in the miracle business. I could never get or keep myself sober, and I tried. And I failed. And I tried again, and I failed again. And you know the deal. But God is. Over at the Bridges of Hope where I work, we have something that people get in trouble for. They have to write out something called the miracle of step 10, and it's a consequence. Oh, I got to do miracles. I got to do miracles. I'm thinking, those are some of the sweetest words that I got to experience as a result of the recovery process, the 12 steps, the power of God, a group of people that brought this book to light for me on a weekend that was kind of like this. I'm moved by emotions. And some of my heroes are in this room, and I'm sitting next to one of them. You know, it's just the absolute coolest. It really, really is. Can we get rid of the Mr. Bill stuff? Formally, Mr. Brown is what I prefer. Right. Come on, man. It's uncomfortable. Guys, we're going to get this thing kicked off, and we've got about 5 pages to dissect over the next, 45 minutes or so. And I don't know if the goal is to read line by line, but I don't know if we won't. What we're not going to do is just read to you the way maybe a teacher might do off of a PowerPoint, but I don't know what's going to happen. I can just tell you, we're just going to try to sling this book and this solution in this room, and we'll see what God's got in store. I wish you well. We'll see. Guys, what we've decided to do, and we've never done this together before, and we might be jumping on each other and over each other and hurdling and this and that, but whatever happens, happens. I'm going to kick this thing off from the beginning of how it works on page 58 right through the ABCs on page 60. I'm going to be reading from a document that's different than your book, but I'd ask you to try to follow along with me if you would. I'm going to be reading from the original How It Works written by Bill Wilson. I'm about to hit you with Bill's hammer. There are times when a feather is appropriate, and that's what I need to be hit with. And there are times I need a hammer, and through most of my life and through most of my step work and most of my recovery, I need to be hit with a hammer. And Bill's going to do that with this original version from my best experience. And I'd like to kick this off by sharing with you, a couple years ago I got to hear a cat out of Vegas named Sheldon, and he changed this first line for me, and I want to talk about that for a minute. And Bill Wilson writes this in the original version: rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our directions. Now Bill's speaking to me. This cat Sheldon said, rarely have we seen a person thoroughly follow our directions. Rarely have we seen a person thoroughly follow our path. And I thought, wait a minute, that's not right. Then I thought, huh? That's exactly right. That's also part of my story. I never thoroughly followed the path. I didn't do what you told me to do. I didn't follow the dictates of this book and this literature. I was not convinced that word Brandon talks about that I had to begin with. I didn't even know what I suffered from. I'd have told you cocaine, opiates, and alcohol were my problem, and I was dead wrong. Right? We were down in Tocoa. A few of us were at Fellowship of the Spirit over in the spring. And the Raymer brothers brought to light some recent recovery rates through chip sales in the Houston area from 2017. It's pretty recent data. Those who entered the program made it a year were at about 12% or so. We think those numbers are closer to 4 or 5. And it's not about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous or these other fellowships, and it's not about the directions, right? It's not about your sponsor. It's not about the group. Now, there may be some things that could be tightened up in some of these ways other than the book and the literature, which has been, oh, what does Silkworth call it? Hold on, I have it marked. In masterly detail in these pages. This book is perfect as written. I just didn't follow the path. That falls on me. Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our directions. Follow me. Those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves to this simple program. Guys, I'm a will not. I am absolutely not a can not. Brandon, what are you?
Oh, yeah. Will not.
You're a will not.
For sure.
Yep, absolutely. Hang on. Usually men and women who are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. There are such unfortunates. They are not at fault. They seem to have been born that way. They are naturally incapable of grasping and developing a way of life which demands rigorous honesty. Their chances are less than average. There are those, too, who suffer from grave emotional and mental disorders, but many of them do recover if they have the capacity to be honest. For those of you just jumping in, I'm reading from the original How It Works before it got published in the book. Our stories disclose in a general way what we used to be like, what happened, and what we are like now. If you have decided you want what we have and are willing to go to any length to get it, then you are ready to follow directions. I ask you to ask yourself, do you want what we have? And what is it that we have that you want? Exactly. Because I wanted what you got. I did a little Delray Beach experiment in 2013. I wanted what that cat had. That cat showed up in a BMW and I was riding a bike. That wasn't even my bike. Someone left it. Someone else's bike. I self-willed a bike. Oh, I need to pay attention when you talk about this later. Guys, I wanted the BMW. I wanted that sweet hair. I wanted that track jacket he had. And the power share, because I know she was paying attention. That's what I wanted. I got the results of what I was looking for. Do you want what we have, and what is it? Do you want freedom? Do you want recovered? Do you want a life recreated? Because it's sitting there for you. And are you willing to go to any length to get it? Because I've answered that question too for a sponsor, but I lied. The truth was I was not. Until I was. That's the only shot I had. As some of these, you may balk. You may think you can find an easier, softer way. We doubt if you can. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried on to our old girlfriends and boyfriends, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. Okay, I threw that in there. Bill didn't. Is that true? And this isn't a bomb. No, I just make fun of that. That's my story. I tried to hold on to my old girlfriend, and the result was nil until I let go absolutely. I just offended like 7 people. Remember that you are dealing with alcohol, methamphetamines, heroin, benzos. I think I smelled a couple dirty little pot smokers come in here. Whatever it is you're chipping with, okay? Cunning, baffling, powerful. Without help, it is too much for you. But there is one who has all power. That one is God. You must find him now. I thought there were no musts in the big book.
There are a ton of them.
Half measures will avail you nothing. You stand at the turning point. Throw yourself under his protection and care with complete abandon. Now we think you can take it. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as your program of recovery. Guys, these aren't suggested steps a la carte. I'd have chose step 1 and 12, possibly 13. None of the other ones really worked for me. I'm sick, and I'm ready to help you. The program, the 12 steps, are the suggested program of recovery. If you are going to try this program, we suggest you do the program. Not a la carte. And I can make that fit my motives early on in this thing. Oh, they're just I don't really have to do a fifth step. And definitely not 9. you know, and half measures, that's the deal. So many things I half-ass through life, I get half results. If I go to the gym twice a week, I might get a little bit of toning and notice a difference, but I might not get where I want to go. But I have found if I take an approach halfway, on this, I get the results of that, and that's absolutely nothing. And that is my experience. This is telling my story. If you've tried this more than once, see?
Think about the easier, softer way. I can't not hit on this. This is the easier, softer way compared to heroin and meth. This is it. Like, this is my easier, softer way, because I ran hard for that and was asked to do a lot of things I didn't want to do for that stuff on a consistent basis. And I come in and I think that I know what the hell I'm doing, and I think that I have these old ideas and that I have a way to figure it out. And until I'm able to set aside these prejudices towards this power and these belief systems that I came in with, you know, I'm probably going to get very minimal results, because I got designs, I got plans, I got ways that I'm gonna work my recovery, because I know more than you, by the way. You that's recovered, I know more than you, actually. Thanks for your suggestions. I'm good. I'm going to keep running it into the ground until I run it into the ground enough to be convinced and be like, oh, wow, maybe my ideas suck. Maybe this may be the easier, softer way. Maybe heroin and meth asked a little too much of me, and I'm unwilling to accept the results now. Mm. I'm unwilling to accept what's continuing to happen in my life. Therefore, I'm able to grab a hold of this thing and be willing and open-minded. So,
thank you, Brandon. Admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care and direction of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely willing that God remove all these defects of character. 7, Bill's going to tell us how to pray. Humbly, on our knees, asked Him to remove our shortcomings, holding nothing back. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make complete amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our contact with God, praying only for His knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual experience as the result of this course of action, we tried to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics, and to practice these principles in all our affairs. You may exclaim, what an order, I can't go through with it. Do not be discouraged. No one among us has been able to maintain anything like perfect adherence to these principles. We are not saints. The point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. The principles we have set down are guidelines to progress. We claim spiritual progress rather than spiritual perfection. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter to the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after have been designed to sell you 3 pertinent ideas. A, that you are alcoholic and cannot manage your own life. B, that no human power, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that. B, that probably no human power can relieve your alcoholism. C, that God can and will. That's the hammer. Ooh. Now I'm going to bring context to what you're about to be convinced of. Notice how the next line on page 60 says being convinced. Well, you've got to try to get your head around what is it exactly I'm being convinced of. We're going to tell you A, B, and C, steps 1 and 2, but I'm going to give you a line that you don't have in your book at all. And it brings context to what being convinced of is. You ready for it? I couldn't hear you. I don't know if you're really ready. Oh, my goodness. Hallie, thank you for showing up.
Participation. Crowd participation. Yeah.
If you are not convinced on these vital issues, you ought to reread the book to this point or else throw it away. Boom. OG status. Bill just went gangsta on y'all.
They were not kind.
Not kind at all.
He was not sweet.
You can reread
that.
It or give it to someone who wants this program, who's ready for this program, because you're not going to do it. And maybe we're planting the seed, and that's fine. But now we know what we're being convinced of. So here we go. Being convinced, we're at step 3, and it's going to tell us what we know it is as it reads on most walls in AA rooms, which is we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood Him. And see, I stopped there. There's a question after that, which is going to try to describe to me what that is. But I know more than most people, like Brandon said, especially early on in this thing. I'm just going to figure it out on my own. I have no idea what that means. I have no idea how to do it. I think step three is an action step. So I wake up in the morning. I'm on step three. I wake up in the morning. I'm going to turn my will and my life over care of God, because I'm going to be in recovery. That's what I'm going to do today. And then I'm selfish. Damn! I got to start over. So I start over. Let me hit the reset button, restart my day. I heard that in a meeting. Thank you for that suggestion. And then, restart my day. Turn my will and my life over to care of God. And then I'm dishonest. Then I steal a Q-tip out of Robert Fickling's locker. That's a real thing. Right? Now I'm stuck on step three. And finally someone says, Bill, what, you haven't done any step work on formal step work on 1, 2, and 3. I said, I know. They said, what's wrong? I said, I'm stuck on step three. They said, why? I said, I keep screwing up. My humanness shows up and I get selfish and I get dishonest and I get resentful and I'm full of fear. And I can't get this. I don't know how to do this. I missed the part that says, just what do we mean by that and just what do we do? And it would skillfully explain it to me. But on my own, guys, I didn't understand it. Then someone said, Bill, is it possible that, what if you just started with turn as much of your life over to as much of God as you understand? Now, that made sense to me. It's still not the third step, as I understand it today, but it made more sense. They said, Bill, what if your will and your life, what if your will or your thoughts and your life or your actions, does that help a little bit? I said, it helps a little bit. I still don't know how to do it. And then someone brought to light for me what step three is. See, I missed, on the wall where it reads in all these rooms we show up in, I missed the first three words. I missed the part about making a decision. And someone said, Bill, are you willing to recreate your life through this process? I said, dude, I'm so done, it's not even funny. He said, would you do a four-step and move on from there? I said, yeah. Okay, you're done with step three. Made a decision. Now, they took me through some of these things to show me around, which we're going to do in a few minutes. But I'd never seen this before. Never been brought out to me in that way. And I made a decision to do the rest of the work. I heard a guy from a table like this say step three is a sound. It's the sound of pen hitting paper. Okay, I can hook up with that. Another guy I know calls it a contract with God. I'm going to make a contract with God in the third step to do the rest of the work and stay on this path. Anything?
No, I'll hit on the okay. First. Yeah.
So, moving on. Yeah. The first requirement. So already I'm thrown. There's a requirement. What? Is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And we better stop right there. Okay? So I'm about to defend myself. Through my running and gunning, and guys, I've had 30 years of alcoholism and 18 years of opiate addiction, 7 years crack cocaine addiction. Through that time, I did some things. I got some things done. I got some things I can put on a resume that I can always have. So I'm not so sure. I'm convinced that, man, I was in the middle of my addiction and alcoholism. I pulled it off. That's pretty good, right? Then someone said, Bill, where are you at now? Oh. Well, I'm coming unglued at the seams. I can't stop thinking about drinking and using. I'm in the first row at a long-term recovery center in the middle of nowhere. There's red clay everywhere. I don't know where the hell I am. So is it possible that even though you've pulled off some things that your life run your way has led you right here, right now? It is. Until I was convinced of a whole lot of things, I was not going to do any of the rest of these things that we're reading today. And I got convinced. Ask yourself, are you convinced of this? If you're not, I don't know what you're going to do. Until I got convinced, I didn't do this. And then I got convinced. You know?
Nah. Go ahead.
On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. I'd ask you, Brandon, is it possible that you would find yourself 4 years clean plus years in collision with something or somebody today? Is that how?
Possibly.
But you're a spiritual giant.
Yeah. It happens regularly. That's one thing I was going to say, is that this stuff didn't come to life for me till after the process of the steps happened. Did I go back and go, oh my God, sober. This describes me right here today, still.
Still today. You know, the 10-step promises talk about we cease fighting. It's because I come in here fighting everybody and everything, even alcohol and crack cocaine and people at work. People on the road, on the street. I'm a spiritual damn giant. Till I get into Ackworth and Atlanta traffic. Ask my wife about that little number. I've said things I don't usually say. How'd that happen? We're country guys. He's got boots on. I got a bullet belt on. Woo. We're not from around here. I don't handle traffic like that. I'm in collision. So things don't go my way, right? I can find myself like that 5 years clean. Brought my buddy Roscoe, who I work with, talks to him. He wakes up. Roscoe, he'll wake up. Hey, damn it, Bo, get out of my way. And, oh, damn. So then he goes, hold on. God, show me what you can do for me today. God, be with me right now because just Bill, I'm in collision. I need access to this power. So I got to do some things, but I got to bring him in real quick in the morning. And I was told off the jump, on awakening means before my feet hit the floor. I know we're kind of getting ahead. Mm. But I see how it hooks up with this because I'll be in collision. Just Bill. Bill's will. Get it? Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Guys, I don't want to get this twisted with work ethic. I was taught about work ethic as a young kid. I believe work ethic is spiritual. You don't have to agree with me. In proportion, I believe God wants us to do good work. I believe God wants us to feel good about ourselves in these ways. Self-propulsion, I was taught, you got to grind. I don't even think there's anything wrong with grinding with proportion. But I don't have to step on your throat. And I don't have to do it dishonestly or self-seeking to better further my position. That's where I get into trouble. Anyway, but I really do. I can't pull that off. I've got alcoholism and drug addiction. I've got to treat that with spiritual fitness. And when I do that, I'm not spiritually fit. I'm doing me. So I can't get that twisted. Okay? I believe self-will had to an example, got me up in time to be here. Got me prepared to do this. Self-will run riot, we're going to see, is really the problem. Moving on. So, guys, I'm segueing into 61, page 61. We're going to get that metaphor of we're the actor who wants to run the whole show. You know the deal. Guys, I've got one word, and I'm not saying you got to have this word, even this understanding. I've got manipulation written down here, guys. To better further my position, I can come at you with humility and grace, right? And sensitivity and compassion to get what I got to have. And if that doesn't work, I'm going to grab a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to get mine my way if I have to. I will pull off whatever it is I need to do, and I've got that skill set. I think we do in a general way. Can you pull that off? Can you go either way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
get what you got to have?
It depends, yeah. What is it when becoming more demanding or gracious? Do I need to be a hard ass or kind to you to get what I want?
To get what you got to have.
Yeah, like, what do I need to do? Be nice to you? Be a dick? Like, which one? To get my way, to manipulate, to control. Mind control appears in every facet of my inventory. I'm fighting control over your emotions, over your actions, over what I think you should do. And if it doesn't go that way, then I act a certain way to try and counteract that. So it's mm-hmm. there.
That's it. Can you possibly do that, a 4 years clean?
I don't know. Where's Amber?
Where's my 10-step? I need my 10-step. Guys, yeah. Those Amber. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Whoa. Yeah, let's get in on this. No,
clearly, I can still do that. Where's the people I work with? Yeah. Clearly, I can still do that. 4 miles. Oh, Miles. Just be the way I want you to be.
Yeah. You know, that's the deal, right? If I could just, if you would just, act the way I want you to act, and if I could just manage these things to suit my needs, rest the whole deal on this page 61. Guys, the last sentence in the middle paragraph on 61, that's my move. That's a strategy for me. That's not just an outcome. It says, is he not, even in his best moments, a producer of confusion rather than harm? See, I think you need to look over here so you don't see what's going on over here. I want to make sure you don't talk to her, or he doesn't talk to her, or he doesn't talk to him, so that doesn't expose some things. I need to produce some confusion. I need something over here that you're paying attention to in a general way. And it shows up at work, and it shows up in relationships, and it shows up everywhere in my life. That's my move. It's a strategy for a guy like me. That's my move, man. And I'm trying to better my position in some way to get what I got to have.
But let me throw something at you real quick. When you read this, and this was, I heard this within the last year, within the last set of steps that I've done, where it was suggested to me to read this section with my name. And I'm going to do that because it carries a lot more weight when I do. So let's see. Each person is like an actor, wants to run the whole show, forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. So if Brandon's arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as Brandon wished, the show would be great, clearly. Everybody, including Brandon, would be pleased, because I think that I know what's best for you, and then if you do what I think you should, you'll actually be happy, and I will too. It works. Like, you do what I think you should do, your life's going to be better. I also think, or my life will also be better, because, you know, I'm self-seeking. I want you to do anything that's going to make my life easier. That's self-seeking. That's, I've heard it put that way. Everybody, including Brandon, would be pleased, clearly. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, Brandon may sometimes be quite virtuous, clearly. Brandon may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest, self-sacrificing. On the other hand, Brandon may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest, but as with most humans, Brandon is more likely to have buried traits. What usually happens, the show doesn't come off very well. Brandon begins to think life doesn't treat him right. Brandon decides to exert himself more. Brandon becomes, on the next occasion, still more demanding or gracious, as the case may be. So I'm going to either push harder with sternness, or I'm going to be more kind. Still, the play does not suit Brandon. Admitting that I may be somewhat at fault, Brandon is sure that other people are more to blame. Brandon becomes angry, indignant. I looked this up because I'm not the smartest cat in the world. Indignant, displeased, bad-tempered, filled with anger, aroused by something considered to be mean, unworthy, or unjust. I have these core belief systems, and when the world ain't doing what I think it should do, I get real upset. Inner politics, inner my boss, inner, like, whatever the case may be, I don't think someone's, and I'm using these as examples, like, I don't think that they're doing what I ethically think should be done, so I'm mad. And then I get twisted up. What is Brandon's basic trouble? Brandon is really a self-seeker, even when trying to be kind. Indeed, you know, I don't know, man. I've struggled with this idea because I'm pushed. I really do try to be helpful in a lot of ways in my life, but I also gain a lot from being helpful to people. And I don't know the wrong or right or indifferent way thing with that. Like, I really love the effect produced by helping people. But I also do it because I like for people to think I'm real sober. I want you to really believe how sober I am. So I have yet to find I haven't heard or listened to an explanation to, like, decipher that for me. That's just my experience with that. It's like, I don't know, but I do continue to do the action because people do continue to be helped. God continues to use me. So that's weird for me. I don't really know what to do with that. Brandon's a victim of the delusion that he can force satisfaction and happiness out of the world if he only manages well. If I can manage this, and I can make my home group right, and I can make these people do this way, my sponsees especially, please do as I say you should do. Please, please make my life easier. And Amber, please feel the way I think you should feel and never be in a discomforted mood. Like, I need you to be happy all the time because it affects me when you're not. Because I'm selfish. It's going to tell me that, clearly. My actions make it's not evident to all the rest of the players that these are things that Brandon wants. Y'all are unaware. You're not mind readers. That this is how I think you should act. And shouldn't matter anyway. Does not Brandon's actions make each of y'all wish to retaliate, snatching all you can get out of the show? Brandon, like Bill just said, even in his best moments at times, is absolutely a producer of confusion rather than harmony. So read that in first person, see if it makes sense, see if it applies, because they're about to tell us why we are the way we are and what the real problem is, and it ain't alcohol, and it ain't crack cocaine, and it ain't heroin, and it ain't meth. I'm good.
Guys, on page 62, you know, I had this super kind of weird experience with 62 and 63 before I ever really had an experience with 62 and 63. These were the most highlighted pages in my book, the most underlined. It was like one of Miles' shirts just threw up on my book. And I didn't know anything about these pages. I had no like real experiential connections with them. It just kind of freaked me out. I didn't want anyone to see it because they'd be like, hey, what's going on with that? I was afraid they'd ask me about it, but it just was weird. And I have nothing other than that and just felt I'd share. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you can't. So it tells me, or I would have believed, that crack cocaine, I think, is the root of my problems. Brandon just alluded to that. He would have said heroin is the root of my problems. We had Tarek and Brandon over at our place this summer, and there was just a little kind of light dialogue while we're doing a little bit of this stuff, and these guys were slinging the book, and they just kind of talked about, you know, Bill's clever here, isn't he? He waits 62 pages before he tells me that it's not crack, it's not Roxy's, it's not another Zanny bar or meth or alcohol. Selfishness, ego, self-centeredness, that's the root of my problem. Right about now, I think I might be ready for that. On page one, I'm not so sure I'd have bought that. You take your damn book and your damn 12 steps, get out my damn way. I got this, because I don't want to hear that. You can't convince me of that early on. But he sneaks it in here. What drives you? Are you driven? 100 forms of who knows what? Fear, self. And self. You put self in front of anything, guess what that makes it? Selfish. Self-delusion, self-seeking, self-pity. Selfish. Is it possible? Do you believe that selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of your problems? Are you convinced? Ask yourself that question. Is it possible that you have made any decisions based on self that later put you in a position to be hurt? Or have you been framed all your life? Are you a victim on everything? Is it possible? Now, I borrowed $50 from a student one time when I was a teacher, did a little thing. I always have to qualify this. It was a college. It wasn't like weird, like they were like 10, you know what I mean? It wasn't like a third grader, okay? Like it makes it a whole lot better, you know what I mean? I borrowed $50 from a student. I made that decision, and I was powerless over the whether I was going to take the first one or not. But I made the decision to borrow that money. And I made the decision not to pay it back over several pay periods. Is it possible that that's the reason that I got fired from my career? They walked me down the hall, took my keys from me, locked the door behind me. So we don't need you anymore. Is it possible that was me and not them? That later put me in a position to be hurt? Happens all the time today. I do the same thing. Self shows up. I've been at my job for a while. I know some things. I've been around. I've experienced this before. I don't really need to tell my boss that. I've already done that 3 or 4 times over the last few years. I know how to handle this. Guys, that just showed up not long ago, and then something fell right behind it. And now I got to explain why I didn't tell them what happened to begin with. Because I know some things. I've been around. Don't you know who I am? It shows up today. And again, thank God we get to make mistakes and learn lessons and there's little things like 10 steps and working with newcomers, and we get past this stuff. You know?
I just wanted to read this paragraph and define some words. I took the opportunity. I've never really dug into what these words meant. Self-delusion, accepting false and often psychotic beliefs regarding oneself or persons or objects outside of oneself. This distorted mind that I have that thinks things that aren't real. Why do I need? I've got to have people around me to challenge the retarded shit that goes through my brain, because I have very limited ability to see clarity in a lot of stuff, like God, prayer, meditation. I've gotten better. I'm not as sick as I was. I will say, I will tell you, I am not as sick as I was when I came in here. If I was, I need to get the hell on and go get high. That's my belief. I ain't as sick as I was. I ain't a shithead like I used to be, and I treat people decent today. But I'm still delusional about a lot of things. So I still have character defects. Some in remission, some are repressed, some show up. I ain't as sick as I was, but Lord, I've got to have people around me to challenge these delusional thoughts and this idea that something is what I think it is based out of what it's how it's going to affect me and center around me being the center of the universe. I am my like, I think of me a lot. I hate that. I do. And the only thing that gets rid of that, and they won't tell us what it is, but so self-delusion, self-pity, pity for oneself, and unrestrained or excessive dwelling on one's own sorrows or misfortunes. Oh, Lord, they were so bad to me. Oh, God, I can't believe I was dealt this hand. And I, gosh, we come in, I have heard some people with some extremely, extremely difficult hands that life was dealt with. I have, man. It's not pretty. The human experience is not pretty. Each of us have some way, shape, or form where it wasn't this manufactured belief system, this manufactured, like, evening starting place where we were born, and it's fair. It's never been fair from the time I existed, even when twins are born. It's never fair, and there's never the same experience. So how can I believe that this is going to be fair? Ever. It's not. It's life. It's experience. It's being. I'm here. Like, but I can manufacture. Oh my gosh. Holy crap. Oh my gosh. Oh, I can't believe it. It's all about me. It's all about me. And everyone did it to me. You know, everyone's worried about themselves. Like, other people usually ain't doing things to me. They're just doing things because they're concerned about themselves. And I just happen to be part of that experience for them. Seeing the what driven by fear. If I'm driven by fear, and usually I am, if I look at my inventory, my resentment inventory, I was probably driven by fear, by self, to then retaliate or to do something to someone. In my first column, I probably did something based out of self, based out of fear, which then caused them to retaliate and do column two to me that I'm perceiving as if they've done it to me without any provocation. And then I'm hurt in column three, and this my pride and my ego and my self-esteem and all this is hurt. And boom, full circle, it's circular. And I'm going, oh, wow. But really, I set the ball rolling. I'm the... they're going to tell us this. I don't know if you want me to continue or you want to get...
Whatever, dude, run it.
They tell us about... you know, in the past, made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. Oh, 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 the greatest statement of hope in AA is what someone put it to me as. I'm pretty open to that idea, is this next paragraph. So, Brandon's troubles, we think, are basically of Brandon's own making. They arise out of Brandon, and the alcoholic and drug addict is an extreme example of self-will run riotous.
I want to jump in on that for just a second. You know, we over a place where I work, we've got a lot of rules and a lot of structure, and we're so grateful that we have that to kind of keep us on the straight and narrow to a degree so we can engage in the recovery process without killing each other. For example, we have to keep things pretty neat. Shoes in a line. You have to keep your closet and desk real neat and orderly. I've got a level of leadership that holds people accountable in ways. If you don't do what you're supposed to, you get what's called written up, and you'll have some sort of consequences. And for example, there'll be invariably any day, or should I say every day, someone will complain about a consequence they got. Man, I can't believe it. This is crazy. He wrote me up for a messy closet. He did? Oh, okay, let's look at this. I'll talk to you about it. Yeah, let's have this dialogue. Let's do this. So was it his job to see if you were doing what you were supposed to be doing? Well, yes. So he went into your closet to see if it was messy? Yes. Was your closet messy? Well, yes. And he held you accountable. Did he do his job? Yes. Is it possible that your troubles are basically of your own making? Yes. We good? Yes. And then they'll walk out of my office going, this is bull, but we got, see what we did? We got to the thing here. We're not getting framed out there in this world. Again, everything I've had consequences for, you're not going to believe this. I did. Every one. And there's a lot of things I did that I didn't get consequences for. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
You know. Man, self run riot, out of proportion. Big Book tells me that lack of proportion of the ability to think straight is insanity. And I look at proportion in my life. I look at proportion in my recovery. I love the idea of working with sponsees and having these, I don't know, semi-regular, regular circle triangle reviews. Where are we at in this process? I want to see where proportion is. Or am I run riot in some way? Am I doing too much of work and not enough time with my relationships and exercise and health? Am I in the gym for 4 hours a day and leaving work early and ignoring my wife? Am I, what does it look like for me? Where's the run riot? See, that's the issue here. My will, way out of proportion. I can't afford insanity. I need to be in proportion. And that is my experience.
So I'm going to read a little bit. Mm-hmm. Troubles we think are basically of our own making. That's awesome. They arise out of myself. I'm an extreme example of self will run riot. If you are my trouble, I can't change you clearly. I need to be the problem. I need to be my problem because I have very limited control over anything. I have very limited control in my own life and very limited control over what I have happen. Like, I mean, the illusion of control exists, but is it there? Not really. Not really. I mean, I can think that I can do, like, it's not very tangible to believe that I have much say over anything, really, especially not you in circumstances and situations. So that's awesome, because there's actually it tells me that the world doesn't have to change for me to be okay, which is cool. Above everything, I must be rid of this selfishness. I must, or it kills me.
Do you believe that? Do you believe you must get rid of this selfishness? Do you believe your life depends on it? Ask yourself that question. You don't have to answer me. Ask yourself.
If I continue to make decisions based out of self, and I continue to get blocked from you and from God, I will drink again. I will use again. It's a fact. Out of my experience, I know this. And if I drink or use again, it's a life or death thing. That's why it says it'll kill me.
Do I believe that I can reduce this with my own willpower or wishing it away? Or do I believe that I must have God's help?
I think it says Bill makes that possible, doesn't it? Yep. It says Bill makes that possible.
No, I don't.
No. God makes that. Brandon makes that possible. God.
Relationships and then
Wrap
it up.
So this is. So I'm gonna go down to the third step. Decision. We see all that selfishness, all the things, trouble, my own making. Third step. Decision. Right here in the last paragraph. This is the how and why of it. First of all, Brandon has to quit playing God. The how is that I quit playing God, and the why is because it doesn't work. When I play God, it don't work. Next, I decide that hereafter in this drama of life, God's going to be the director. So what is a director? A person who is in charge of an activity, department, or organization, supervises, controls, manages. A person who supervises the actors, camera crew, and other staff for a movie, play, television. This person's in charge. The director is in charge. And that ain't me.
Guys, Brandon's going to describe a couple of relationships you can expect to experience with this power you're getting access to through this recovery process.
I'm the actor, a player on the stage. I act. I do for this director.
You do what the director tells you to do.
Do what the director tells me to do. Hey, go there. Do this. Cool. Read that line. Awesome. Yeah. Like, go do my work. He's the principal. What is a principal? First in rank, person with highest authority or most.
I thought I was the principal. Damn it!
Clearly, that works, right?
Yeah.
Person with highest authority or most important position. A person who employs another as his agent. Imagine that. I'm about to be what I spoke of, or I'm allowed to be an agent. He's the principal. I'm his agent. How cool is that? That I get to be an agent for the creator of the universe. In my mind, that's pretty unbelievable that I'm allowed to play that role, that I've been empowered to represent this power, this principle, this creator. An agent is a person empowered or employed to act for another. We're empowered to act on behalf of the creator of the universe. It's badass.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty remarkable. He's the father. We are his children. Most good ideas are simple. This concept was the keystone of the new and triumphant arch through which we passed to freedom. Talking about this arch, I hit on it a little bit last night. Foundation of this structure is my first step experience. Am I screwed? The cement that binds us is the common problem and common solution. And then I have this cornerstone, this willingness to believe. And then I have this keystone, and the keystone is a central stone at the summit of an arch. So it's up here, and it locks the whole arch together. So this decision to let God be the principal and me be the agent, this locks the whole deal together. So this is where the rest of my process through this thing and the rest of my life basically hinges upon this decision to not run my own life, to allow God to be in charge of my life, whatever that power, conception, idea, experience looks like for you. Because my God ain't got to run your life. Remember that. My God runs my life. Your God runs your life. That's cool.
And guys, right before Brandon's going to read the third step promises in the top page 63, I'd be remiss if I didn't share the greatest ending to any personal story I've ever heard. It happened from a friend of ours in this room. His name is Chris. And he was talking about this agent-principal relationship. And he does, you know, his kind of cool, kind of chill, vibey way that only he can pull off, straight flexing from the podium. And he said, you know, if you're not an agent for God, what the F are you doing? Mm. Thanks for letting me be here. And then just walked off the stage. It was so badass. You know, oh man, that was my favorite ending ever. All right, third step promises, top page 63.
When we sincerely took such a position, all sorts of remarkable things followed. Brandon has a new employer. I didn't experience this. I didn't experience it at the time I did my very first third step. No clue. Didn't even know they existed, honestly. No idea. Now I read it. This is present. This is real life, current experience for me. Brandon has a new employer. Being all powerful, he provides what Brandon needs, as long as Brandon keeps close to him and performs his work well. Mm. Established on such a footing, I've become less and less interested in myself, my little plans, and my designs. More and more, I've become interested in seeing what I can contribute to life. How cool. As I've felt new power flow in, I've enjoyed peace of mind absolutely. Probably one of the best, most amazing gifts of this program is peace, contentment. As I've discovered I could face life successfully, I've become conscious of His presence. We talked about the consciousness of the presence of God, the consciousness of this thing. It's always been there, but now I'm awake to it. I experience it. I began to lose the fear of today, tomorrow, and the hereafter. I have been reborn without a doubt. No questions asked. I have been reborn. Transformation, recreation of my life. Do the third step prayer with them.
You got it. Yeah.
So we're now at step three, or we're now at the third step prayer, which is an affirmation of this decision that we just talked about on the bottom of page 62. That is the third step decision. That's where we decide that we're not gonna that we're gonna quit playing God. We're gonna let God run our lives, and now this is an affirmation. Notice I'm gonna point some out to you before we read it together. If you like, you can take it with us. If not, don't. It tells me that, let's see, relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Not relieve me of the bondage of alcohol. Not relieve me of the bondage of heroin. Don't relieve me of the bondage of meth. Relieve me of the bondage of me. I'm the me, selfishness. I'm driven by this crap. Please remove this from me. Give me an opportunity and the ability to come out here and be of service to others. However, faltering, however I can screw it up, continue to let me be an agent for you.
That's a perfect third step prayer, because Bill tells us the wording is quite optional. You just killed it, man, in your own words. I love that. Let's do the prayer together. If you guys join us, if you like, you can sit, you can kneel, you do whatever you want.
Ready? God, I offer myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Bill tricks us. He then asks us if we're ready for the third step, although we just took it just as well. Guys, it says, we found this very desirable to take this spiritual step with an understanding person such as our wife. The third step, not the fifth step. Get it? Write that down. Just trying to help. To be helpful is our only aim. It's in the book. This is only a beginning. guys, and I don't know what I'm giving God, but if I'm already at page 63 and I've read this and I've had this dialogue in steps 1 and 2, I'm absolutely at least selfish, and relieve me of the bondage of self. And I've got a whole lot more stuff going on. I don't know what it is yet, but I'm giving them myself and anything else. Take this hot mess, God. I'm about to find out through the steps 4 and 5 what the rest of it is. And when I do the 7th step prayer later, now I've got some more information, some specific character defects that I'm going to ask them to do a work on me with. But right now, just take this hot mess. Anything else?
No.
10-minute break.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.